Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years. Enter into some very conscious breathing. Have your breath go all the way down to your abdomen and ensure that you release the full breath. As you do so, you can release any tension that you may have been holding. After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing and world peace. We may at that time envision in our consciousness anyone that we would like to send our love to. Noticing our thoughts, releasing any thought of the future or the past, presencing ourselves to right now. Envision a silver-white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning silver disc of light, lighting up your back, all the way up, and into the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Focusing our attention on the point between our eyebrows. Know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God, the fullness of wisdom and creativity and unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me now. Today I acknowledge I am a center for newness of life. I am reminded of the eternal truth that as an expression of the infinite, I am a being of light and love. I fully allow miracles in my life and in my world to see what can be done in, through, and as me. I shift my perception from seeing any perceived shattered dream. I shift it to holding it as a divine refinement, calling me to divine redirection. I am brave in the face of conformity. I am new in the face of the already tried and different, and in the face even of custom. I am being anew, building new dreams, celebrating myself as an original, and I delight in spirit's accomplishments through me. Right here and now, I declare my intention to be my very best, unique, original, fully expressing and experiencing courageously who and what I really am, in freedom, in peace,
joy, love, and creativity. I am thankful for each person gathered here. I'm thankful for those of our community at a distance. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. But most of all, I am thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. Thank you. My topic this morning is Shattered Dreams, Build New Ones. If I had to ask for a show of hands, and I won't, how many of us have ever had some plans, some dreams, some goals that perhaps just didn't come into fruition, you know? I know I have. So my purpose this morning is threefold. Learning some new words. Some of you have heard them before from here, but I don't know if you've heard them from other places. Number one, about divine refinement and divine redirection. Divine refinement and divine redirection. Number two, for us to acknowledge at a deeper level that we do create and are accountable for our life experience. How we're experiencing our lives and what we create in it. And number three, are we willing to, especially if we've had a shattered dream, to look at it this way? Whether you want to call it God or the universal energy or infinite presence and power, it doesn't matter what we call it. It's like through the laws of attraction and intention, it's creating a superior alternative. If we allow it. That's the little disclaimer there. So shattered dreams, you know, that could mean something in the area of our health not being what it was or what we would like it to be. It could be in relationship. A relationship that didn't work out, or even maybe a marriage that didn't work out. It could be in our finances. That's very much in the media these days with what they're terming the big financial crisis that has happened since last fall. So my question to you is, whatever it was for you, it may have been several things in some of those categories or maybe all of those categories, what did you say about it? What did you say to yourself about it? And what did you say out loud to other people about it? It's been said that challenges persist because we don't like them, we think about them, we talk about them, and we allow them to consume us. It's something like nursing, rehearsing, and caressing them. Nursing, rehearsing, and caressing them. So how did you talk about them? And you know, it doesn't even have to be out loud. It's like in your head. How long did you talk about them? How did it affect you? How did you allow it to affect you? Did you fight it? Did you run away from it? Did you flight it? Did you freeze in your life? And hopefully, none of those. Did you complain? Or did you perhaps look a little deeper and think, just perhaps there's an opportunity for me to practice mastery here? Next week's topic is, I believe I've got it down accurately, what would a master do? What would a master do? So here's the thing. I'd like us to shift in our consciousness and in our languaging. And I know this has really helped me when I've looked at shattered dreams or things that didn't kind of come to fruition the way I would have wanted them. Or even I didn't kind of have a dream, but something happened and it was like, oh my gosh. Can we hold it as a divine refinement? A divine refinement, refining us, fine-tuning us to our next level in consciousness. Are we willing to, instead of talking about it, maybe in a very negative way, to reframe it instead of, oh no, could we say even, oh yay, that there was a blessing in disguise? Could we realize that when we hold a shattered dream as a negative experience, that can actually drain our life force if we stay there. Can we speak about it this way, that we're going through it as a process, Many of you have heard me quote Tom Costa, who made his transition a few years ago, but wonderful New Thought minister in Palm Desert. He used to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will not build a condo there." You know, like, you don't move in and stay there and talk about it and, you know, mesh around in it. Could we hold it as a divine redirection, a divine redirection in our health, maybe our lifestyle, in our relationships, certainly, and I want to talk more about that, and in our area of prosperity. I've heard a lot of people on television and being interviewed saying that there's been a shift in consciousness with this crisis that has been happening globally, financially, that people are shifting more to really looking at what they really value in their life. Their values are becoming a very, very much higher priority than before. You know, dreams are different than goals. Dreams can be entirely mental. They can be emotional also, but there's a process that's only limited by our imagination. Goals require energy and strategy and planning and skills and knowledge and action. For a dream to become a goal, it has to be specifically defined for ourselves. What we're doing or not doing, or what we would be doing or not doing if we were truly living that dream or goal. How to recognize it if it were to show up or to happen in our life, and how we'd feel about it. So I want to go back up a little bit, because I said something about in our relationships. There was a book that came out many years ago. It was called The Marriage Affair. And I really liked one little section in there. It was a time in my life where I was looking at, so what had gone astray in my divorce from my first marriage. We were married 12 years. And there was a section in there called Before the Divorce. And the person, I don't even recall who wrote the book now, but it said to get together with a loud ticking clock and sit together and contemplate these things. First 5 minutes, project yourself into the future, and what would life be like if you truly separated and broke up and perhaps divorced? What would the costs be? Not only looking at financial, we're looking at quality of life. What would we be comfortable with it? Would some of our comforts go? certainly closeness would go. How would the children be? How would they respond or react? And certainly people need to look at their financial area. So that's for the first 5 minutes, just reflecting on that. The second 5 minutes, and some of you, this may not have anything to do with you, but you know what? Many of us have children. Many of us have grandkids. And I'll tell you, I had an email from one of my granddaughters a while ago. I was shocked. I married them 5 years ago. I performed their marriage. And they're getting a divorce. And I was very shocked. So the second 5 minutes in this request here was to stop judging and pointing a finger. You know the old saying, you point a finger here, you've got three pointing back at you. Stop judging and examining what the other about the other and examine ourselves. This isn't about guilt, this isn't about blame, this isn't about shame. But it's for 5 minutes as the clock is ticking, examine ourselves. It can be very uncomfortable to do. Questions to ask ourselves, did I magnify? Have I magnified? Am I magnifying things? Have I made rigid demands? Have I refused to see a solution? Have I judged the other person as guilty and exempted myself entirely? Regarding children, some say the atmosphere of disharmony, discord, hostility is worse than their dislocation of divorce. But that's based on the assumption that this disharmony, discord, and hostility are inevitable and they will get worse and stay forever. There was a judge, Paul A. Alexander, who said this, "Everybody believes divorce breaks up families. That is not so. The broken family is not a result of the divorce. Divorce is the result of a broken family." I thought that those were very wise words. Then you may want to, if you have a Bible in your home, look up Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 to 7 about what love is. If you have a script of your marriage and your marriage vows, you may want to read them over and realize that you had made a decision back then, a promise back then. And then looking at what do you think has really gone wrong and what was your share of it? Again, with no guilt, no blame, and no shame. What did I do, perhaps, that got in the way? So that's before the divorce. I said earlier that we create and we are accountable for all of our life experiences. It's how we're experiencing it, our life. That's our own personal way of experiencing our experiences. And also that we've attracted much of what is happening in our life. Remember, everything is energy. Everything is energy. If we don't accept accountability in certain areas, we will misdiagnose the problem, for sure. So it's important for us to dig to the root about what we did or perhaps didn't do in the relationship, with our health, or with our area of prosperity or scarcity. I'm going to ask a few questions here and notice that there's a similarity in that we say I. So we're looking at over here, instead of over there. See? How did I arrange this situation? And again, I'm not only speaking of relationships here. Did I miss any warning signals? Have I had unclear goals and dreams? What choices have I made along the way? Perhaps I didn't take some needed action. perhaps I didn't require enough of myself. Perhaps I didn't treat myself with dignity and respect. Then to look at, is there any way of being and is there any way of doing, as far as a behavior goes, that perhaps would be a good thing for me to start? Or is there any way of being or anything of doing in the area of behavior that would be a good thing for me to stop? See, the past scenario will remain fresh in our subconscious, whether or not it comes consciously, until we deal with it and are complete with it. Trying to think of who it was. There was an article in the Globe and Mail just recently, and they were, I think they were talking about the, I'm trying to remember her name now. She's married to Sean Penn, and they're the third or fourth time, Robin Wright. Right, thank you. Wonderful actress. I think she was in Message in a Bottle. Wasn't she in Message in a Bottle? Yeah. And this journalist was saying that Robin was saying now she's really clear because she's separating now from Sean Penn for I think the third and they say the last time. And what she was saying is, now I know what I don't want. And you know, that's a very powerful place to be, to know what you don't want. However, don't build a condo there. It's good to be very clear about what you don't want. However, when we're only focusing on, I don't want this, and I don't want that, and I don't want this to happen, I'm not only talking about relationships, I'm talking about health and our prosperity also, but relationships. The subconscious mind has no picture for don't. So when we're saying, well, I sure don't want an alcoholic next time, I don't want to be in relationship with an alcoholic, or I sure don't want somebody who would be unfaithful to me, or I sure don't want somebody who can't commit to me, well, you know, just remove the don't, and what you're getting subconsciously is that. It's going straight in. So it's okay, and it's good, and it's a good step to know what you don't want. But then you need to move into what you do want. What you do want. You know, many of you have heard when I heard about attracting someone new in my life, and I wasn't really looking. But I thought, well, you know, if the infinite wants to send me this person that I would, you know, be happy with, well, these are some of the attributes, you know. And part of my making the list, I made a list of about 67 attributes, and some of you go, what? Now, some of those things are, enjoys children, enjoys pets, enjoys dogs and cats, things like that, besides qualities, you know. But some of the things, how I arrived at some of that list was some of the things that hadn't worked before for me in my first marriage. And many of you know, in my second marriage, I was married quite happily for 31 years until Norman died. But there were glitches in our marriage. We had challenges, especially with the blended family. So, you know, some of those things on my list had to do with some of those kinds of things. Like if this person had been married before, this person better have a great relationship with his children, with his stepchildren if he had any, with his exes if they were still alive. See, so what I'm saying is, you know, look at what didn't work and what you don't want, but then relanguage it to languaging it for your dream. And don't think it, ink it. You know, write it down. When I say shattered dreams build new ones, you know, it has a lot to do with your intention. We place our attention on our intention. It has to do with focus. It has to do with changing our mind and keeping it changed. It has to do with knowing that in the realm of metaphysics and quantum physics, matter obeys the intent of consciousness. An idea has an electromagnetic sphere of energy that attracts to it whatever it needs to manifest. Intention alters reality. The observer changes the properties of the observed. Many times I say to an easy way to remember things is to think of the word caps, but I spell it with you know, like having double letters. So caps, this is co-create. What am I willing to co-create? What am I willing to attract? By my consciousness, what I'm focusing on and what I love, what am I willing to allow? Whoops. What am I willing to really allow into my life? And what am I willing to accept? I'm standing in some people's way here. It's what the mind of man can conceive and believe and accept it can achieve. There's that one little word that's missing in that other phrase. Because you can believe all you want, you can think about it all you want, but if you're not accepting it in your heart, if you don't have an acceptance that you deserve it, you can believe all you want. It's not going to happen. And P is permit. Many of these are very similar, allowing, accepting, and permitting. What are you going to promote? This is like what you speak about to yourself and what you talk to other people. Are you going to step into it? I always like to say in workshops, move in consciousness. Move in so that you step into the feeling of it. How would you feel if this building new dreams, no matter what area in your life, how would you feel if that already had come into fruition in your life? Then feel that feeling. See, most people say, when then? When that happens, then I'll feel good. No, you feel good and see the happening. Yeah, and the last one, of course, is surrender. Surrender is very much about letting. It's not about giving up, the white flag, you know, giving up. No, it's not about giving up. So I remember caps whenever I'm thinking about, you know, moving forward and any goals or aspirations that I might have. So I said a little earlier about the infinite God, whether you want to call it God or not, preparing a superior alternative if we are willing to be open and accepting of it. I like Goethe's couplet, where whatever you can do or dream, you can begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. And there's these blue sheets on the table as you go out about until one is committed. So notice how a lot of our themes of the month tie together. Like last month was willingness. So if we're willing to be open and accept a greater good in our life, if we're willing to be divinely redirected after we've had a divine refinement in our life. You know, one of my divine refinements, many of you have heard me tell the story, and I don't like to repeat it too often, but it was pivotal in my life, was a near-death experience from an automobile collision, which was very traumatic in the 70s. And that was my divine refinement in my life. I was very happy being a successful realtor in Edmonton, and boom. But I also had been studying metaphysics. I'd been studying that the power of the healing power resides within us because we're immersed in it. We can never be separate. And my divine redirection was realizing I no longer wanted to be a realtor. I wanted to do this. So you could look at that and say it was terrible. It was terrible. I nearly died. My family thought I was going to die, except for Norman. He held the vision, and a lot of friends held the vision. It was painful. There was recovery process. But it was a divine refinement. You look in your life, and if you can shift in your mind to something that you've held that was, oh no, you know, like that, I wish it hadn't happened, or it shouldn't have happened, or why me? That's a great one too. Like, we, a laugh of recognition going on here. So, you know, like, is there something deeper there going on? And for sure, it has made you who you are today. For sure. You would not be who you are today without those experiences and your responses to those experiences. Yes?
Yes.
Not, some aren't sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if failure were absolutely impossible, what kind of a life would you like to build for yourself? Some people think about that often. Some people never think about it. Like, they spend more time picking out shoes or a tie than they think about what kind, if failure were impossible, what kind of a life would I like to build? When I've led goal planning and life planning workshops, one of the exercises, that's an old exercise, your ideal day. What would your ideal day look like? Your absolutely ideal day. Have you ever thought about it? You ever moved in feeling, in consciousness? If you knew that you only had 6 weeks to live, or 6 months, let's say that, would you make some different plans? You know, if you were living and going to be in relatively good health all that time, would you make some different plans? Would you be with different people? Would you go certain places with people, without? If none of you have seen The Bucket List, I implore you to rent it and watch it. It's an amazing show. Is there anybody here who has not seen that movie? Oh, please rent it. It's amazing. Of course, it has one of my favorite actors in it, Jack Nicholson. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, would you change your mind today? Good questions to ask ourselves. So remember, here at the center, when we're saying all these things, it's not about just I, a small little ego self. We're talking about I, the large S-E-L-F, the spiritual being that we are, that is immersed in God. We can never be separate. So we don't pray to God someplace distant and say, oh, please send me this, or heal me, or help me with my money. No, it's like we do affirmative prayer, and we go within. Because that's that God presence within, not someplace far away that we have to call into our presence. We go within and we look at what we're affirming, what we're declaring for ourselves, what we're asking for, what we're ready to say yes to. All last year, the theme was saying yes to life. This theme this year is allowing, letting your light shine in 2009. So what kind of dreams would you dream if you truly let your light shine to a greater degree than you have been allowing it to now? Only you can answer that question. So I want to thank you for being here this morning and for being such an attentive listening ears, audience. But I also want to, you know, remind you of those two new words, divine refinement and divine redirection. Divine refinement and divine redirection. And know that whatever you may think you may have lost, there's a superior alternative waiting for you to accept. Are you willing? Good. More of you are willing. Yes, good. God presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you. Thank you.